Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text 15. Garbe prani dede vakya. Rohinim yoga nidraya. Oho visramsito garba. Iti paura vichakrushuhu. Garbe prani dede vakya. Rohinim yoga nidraya. Oho visramsito garba. Iti paura vichukrushuhu. Garbe. When the embryo pranite was carried from the womb. Devakyaha of Devaki. Rohinim to the womb of Rohini. Yoga Nidraya. By the spiritual energy called Yoga Maya. Oho, alas. Visvamsita is lost. Garbaha, the embryo. Iti, thus. Pauraha, all the inhabitants of the house. Chuku shrushuhu, lamented. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Report. All the inhabitants of the palace includes Kamsa. When everyone lamented, Kamsa joined in compassion, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki had undergone this abortion. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki. I'm sorry. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the seventh month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in the Hari Vamsa. At midnight, while Rohini was sleeping, she experienced, as if in a dream, that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she awoke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and thus she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarsana." The word yoga Nidra is significant. When one is spiritually reconnected through self-realization, one regards his material life as having been like a dream. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagarti bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective stage. The stage of self-realization is called Yoga Nidra. All material activities appear to be a dream when one is spiritually awakened. Thus, Yoga Nidra may be explained to be Yoga Maya. Yoga Nidra, or the sleep that is not ignorance, but actually intense concentration. Actually, there is a yoga practice. It is connected to the initial sadhana or practice for meditation called Yoga Nidra. It's you lie in Shavasana, or the corpse position, which means just lay very still and relaxed. Don't move anything. and don't fall asleep, but gradually go into a trance, usually by mental exercise. Now, modern times, they play a tape recording, and you hear someone speaking, you know, sort of a hypnotic exercise. You go into a hypnotic trance, actually, in yoga nidra. I was at the clinic where we practiced this every evening, and two-thirds of the class were snoring halfway through. You know, the risk is you fall asleep, you know, while trying to go into trance. Everyone was snoring, or two-thirds were snoring instead of going into trance. That's yoga nidra practice. Yoga nidra is appearance of sleep, but actually it's raising of consciousness, deeper, or rather more aware, while apparently asleep. And Prabhupada connects that with Krishna's discussion of night. What's night for the materialists is daytime for the devotees, and vice versa. It doesn't mean that devotees stay up all night and sleep during the day. Some of them might, but that's not what Krishna is advising here. It's not literal. We're talking about a subjective experience of what you consider reality. But what the materialists consider real and important, we consider foolish and illusion. And vice versa. What we consider important and real, everyone else thinks is nothing. Nothing important. Nothing real. We take Krishna to be real, and they think Krishna is just a myth. We take devotional service, surrender, humility to be important. And they say that these things are detrimental, and they're of no use and of no value. To be humble is the worst useless thing a person can have. A humble person is a useless person, from the material point of view. So that is simply what is meant by night being day and day being night. It is no actual change of schedule. We should follow a normal schedule. We should wake up early in the morning, work during the day, and go to sleep at night. You know, this program of working all night and sleeping all day, that is tamasic. Although some transcendentalists may go outside the norm, but the normal procedure is to be awake during the day. This is the modes of nature. Unless we're completely transcendental, they affect us. So in the morning, the mode of goodness is prominent. In the afternoon, the mode of passion is prominent. And at night, the mode of ignorance is prominent. This is the workings of nature. It is unavoidable. And unless you're totally immune to any influence of the modes, it will affect you. So do your spiritual sadhana, especially in the morning. Do your work, especially in the busy part of the day. And go to sleep at night and get some rest. This is a normal program, even for advancing devotees. Natya haras tu yogosti, na chaikanta manashnataha. You can't be a yogi if you eat too much or don't eat enough. If you enjoy too much or don't enjoy enough, or if you sleep too much. Nachati swapnashilatya jagrato chaiva charjuna. If you stay up all night, jagaranam. In many places in India, jagaranam is a popular practice. You see these stalls in Delhi all over the place, Durga or somebody else, and there's just a tent set up on the street. What they're doing is they're collecting money for a jagarana. And they're going to hire a band and some singers and reciters, katha reciters, to stay up all night. Professional business. Professional singers and reciters do this business of Devi jagaranam, other jagaranams. Stay up all night and, you know, sing and recite different kathas and make a lot of money. It's good business, this jagaranam business. And they don't mind staying up. They can sleep all day, and as long as they got money in their pocket, they're making money. They don't care. Make it at night. So we're not in the jagaranam business. There's maybe occasion to stay up all night for a devotee. It is recommended, jagaranam for Ekadashi. You know, if you can do it, fast all day completely, and stay up all night. That's, if you want to do really Pukka Ekadashi, that's how to do it. And then, and I think it's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, devotees are given permission, they can also honor Lord Mahadev by observing Shivaratri if they want to. And that also involves staying up all night. So there is place for that in the Vaishnava practice, if you want to do it. But just to stay up all night because it's convenient or because to achieve some material purpose is not recommended. Anyway, in the middle of the night, Krishna took his birth at midnight. Yogamaya took birth a few minutes after midnight. And she's already been transferred from the womb of her actual mother, and her mother thinks that she's had a miscarriage, which is cause for lamentation. Everybody in the palace was lamenting. So some of the people in the palace may have been materialists, and they were actually lamenting. They were actually disturbed. Others were pure devotees, and they weren't actually disturbed because the devotee never suffers material disturbance. But they were experiencing, those who were pure devotees in the palace of, let's see, I'm sorry, Rohini is staying with Nanda Maharaj. So this is Nanda Maharaj's palace, right? Right? I mean, she's in Gokula. Okay, so this is Nanda Maharaj's palace. There may be a few materialists there. Some of Kamsa's friends may be staying in Nanda's palace. Others, maybe most of them are pure devotees. For the pure devotees, there's no actual disturbance. Lamentation is one of the Vyabhichara Bhavas, among the 33 Vyabhichara Bhavas on the list, is, lamentation. Shoka, yes. So, it's called shoka? But this shoka is not material shoka. Glani is, loss of enthusiasm, loss of color, vaivanyam. The internal feeling is you lose all your enthusiasm. Utsaha nasha. And the external manifestation of that is you lose the color in your face. You become pale. So these are ecstatic symptoms. It is not material. There is no material lamentation for a devotee. This is the mystery of rasa. Those who, the Prakrita kavis do not understand this. The Prakrita alankarikas, the materialistic theoreticians of poetry and drama, misunderstand. Bharat Muni may have understood or not have understood, the one who wrote the Natya Shastra. But the materialistic poets and dramatists who write just about the love affairs of ordinary men and women and the exploits of ordinary kings, these poets and dramatists do not understand the proper position of rasa. They think that the vyabhichara material emotions, material lamentation, material anger, material disappointment, these are not bhavas. These are material emotions, and there's nothing to write a poem or a drama about. They're not glorious. I get angry every day, 100 times. Why don't you write a drama about me? I get disappointed. So why isn't that glorified? Every fool in the world is experiencing all these material perverted reflections of the Vyabhichara Bhavas. Every idiot in the world is experiencing them hundreds of times a day. But they're not glorious. There's nothing to write a poem about. The real bhava, the real ecstasies that are to be glorified, are the transcendental ones only. The transcendental emotions. Material emotions should be given up. That's what the renunciants are saying. Give up harsha and shoka. We give up the material harsha and shoka and become fit to develop the transcendental harsha and shoka. The real bhavas, ecstasies of devotion. So we condemn material poetry. I purchased dozens of books of material poetry. All these poets. What's his name? Bana wrote this. Shishupalvada.
Shishupalvada.
Okay. He only wrote one drama, right? Maga. So anyway, it's a poem about Krishna's exploit of killing Shishupal. It's all about Krishna and Narada Muni, but the poet is not a devotee. You know, so I collected these books because they're the standard books of poetry, examples of poetry, but they're written by mundane authors. So I stuck my nose a little bit in them, but I'm not interested anymore. You know, we can study poetry, study Kavi Karnapur's Alankar Kaustubha and learn the techniques of poetry, how to express yourself poetically. You can study this, and you can study the poems written by the great Vaishnavas, Rupa Goswami, Kavi Karnapur himself, Prabodhananda Saraswati, many great Kavirajas, poets, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and other Vaishnava Sampradayas also. We don't need to show it, just like we're not interested in material philosophy, we're not interested in material poetry and drama either. We shouldn't, you know. Maybe we have to look at these things sometimes. You know. But we're not very much interested in mundane poetry because it's not dealing with real rasa. It's dealing with material emotions, which are nothing glorious. Nothing glorious about them. But here in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we're inundated with nothing but rasa. What's the name of Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary? Sarartha? Varshini. Darshini. Okay, I think his Gita commentary is Sarartha Varshini or something. Anyway, pouring down the essence of nectar. We'll be flooded with nectar just reading the second canto. Real rasa. Real emotions. Real feelings. Real juice of life. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.